Welcome to the Marketing Growth Podcast. This podcast episode is sponsored by Ahrefs. I'm your host, Shane Barker. In this episode, Lisa Lepke is back with us to discuss ProWriting8's phenomenal growth story. In 5 years, they've gone from zero to 1.5 million users. I have a lot of questions about their evolution, but let's start with how Lisa got started with ProWriting8. Before we get started, I wanted you guys to know that Ahrefs is offering a great deal right now. You can get a 7-day trial of the software for just $7. The best part is that they have recently opened up two of their tools, Site Audit and Site Explorer, for absolutely free. For content marketing and SEO, it is one of the best tools out there for sure. Don't forget to sign up for this offer. So how did the writing thing, how did that translate into working for ProWriting8? Like, what was the transition there?
Yeah, so for about 8 years, I was working, doing PR for an arts PR agency. So I worked with English National Ballet and Blue Man Group and all kinds of really big theater and dance and comedy companies. And I had just finished a big project when my friend Chris told me that he had just started this little software company. And would I help him a little bit with some of the early marketing messages and to build the first website and that sort of thing. He's an old friend of mine. We met on a bus in Vietnam about 2001 or something like that. Yeah. And he's done a million different jobs. He's one of those guys that is really imaginative and creative and was in the middle of writing this book, but then he also has that sort of coding mind as well. And so he is this bridge between these two kinds of brains that is kind of magical. And so just to keep him, so then he was doing a job and broke his ankle. And ended up having to stay in bed for ages. And so to keep himself busy instead of just watching crap TV like the rest of us would, he just invented a little algorithm and some software to help him edit his own book. And then put it online and people started using it and then became completely obsessed with all the different ways that computers can help writers find issues in their writing.
I know.
5 years later.
It's insane. Yeah. We're gonna talk about how many writers you guys have on the platform. It's insane. I love it how you explain it. You're like, oh, he just uses both sides of his brain, and then he hurt his ankle, and then he just started a little software company with an algorithm. You make it sound like it's like you just put 2 + 6, and then it equals 8, and then all of a sudden you have it up. It's like I don't even. Once again, shout out to the writers are on my team. Shout out to anybody that does coding on my team. I actually took a coding class. This was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And I was like, I'm going to jump in there, not necessarily to be a coder, but just to kind of get a better idea. And the instructor, I felt bad for him. He's like, I don't know how you snuck into this class. Like, 'cause this was after college and everything. And I just remember looking at it. My mind, when it comes to coding, is just like, it's just incredible. And they look at this and do this and you can figure out this. And I just don't have the attention span for it. Like I was like, I'm like ADHD. I'm like, oh, look, you know, squirrel. Oh, shiny penny. And the guy's like, no, you got to focus on this. And just the way that they do things is like, it really is another part of your brain that it's like absolutely insane. If you watch somebody that, even if they code bad, I don't even know if they're coding bad, but just the idea of seeing it. Like I walk by a, you know, co-working space and somebody has this big screen and it looks like he's like talking to the Matrix or Neo or something. It's just absolutely incredible. Like just to be able to focus on that and be able to build something, I think is awesome.
Yeah. And I don't even think he's ever really taken a coding course. He just really wanted to figure it out. And so he taught himself and he can just get really zeroed in and figure anything out. Like our whole company is really do it yourself. If you want something done, you figure out how to do it. If you want to have a blog for the company, you figure out how to build a blog and then you figure out how to design it. We don't hire agencies to do anything really. Everybody just figures it out.
Just goes for it. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about ProWriting8. Like you've kind of touched on it a little bit. Like tell us exactly how the platform works and what's the fun stuff.
Okay. So we have this really amazing team of computational linguists. And what those are they're experts in the English language. And it's their job to figure out how language works and how every word works together. And then they use those, what they've learned, to look at published writing compared to amateur writing, and they figure out what the differences are, and they look for common statistics around that. And then they can use, you know, that information that they've pulled from thousands and thousands and thousands of books and use it to find things in your writing that are different from published work. So, for example, So in published writing, good successful writing, people have made it books traditionally published, they will use passive voice in less than 50% of, or in less than 50 of 1,000 sentences. So I don't know if you know, just for your anybody who's listening who doesn't know what passive voice is, if you have a sentence that's John threw the ball, that's an active sentence because John, who's the person doing the action, is right at the front. You can turn it around and make it passive voice if you say the ball was thrown by John. And so that, because it's the same words, but it's just in a different order, that's quite easy for a computer to pick up and to measure how often that happens in successful writing. And so if you then put your, if you've written something and put it into our software and they do the analysis of it and you've used it 200 times out of 1,000, for example, or comparable stat, it can flag that for you and say, you're probably doing this too much. And let's have a look at, these are the sentences that are problematic. See if you can rewrite them so that your reader will find them a bit more engaging. Because readers can just take in active sentences a bit more than they can take in passive sentences. Mm-hmm. And so if you take that example and then multiply it by 1,000, because they've put in literally thousands of rules and suggestions and things like that into the software, it's sort of like having a copy editor who's just tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, how about this? Maybe this needs to be rewritten. Maybe this sentence is overly complicated. Maybe this sentence, maybe you've used an adverb here when you could use a really strong verb. And so that's sort of how it all works. And then we try and fill it up with loads of teaching and instruction around it. So that if you do get flagged for passive voice, then we'll have a video there that teaches you why this is problematic. We'll have a good blog post that teaches you how to change it, what the kinds of things you might be looking for. And so the ultimate goal is just to help you become a better writer while you're editing your own work.
That's awesome. I mean, that's, once again, I wish we would have met, wish the software was here about 25 years ago when I was jumping in this room to go, hey, Shane, don't do that again. Please don't do that again. Like, oh yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for keep telling me over and over and over. And one day I will listen, I promise. So you guys, and I know you guys kind of tout and kind of talk about being it being more like user focused and feature focused. Kind of talk about that a little bit, because it sounds like you guys are very like, I mean, it sounds like it's very intuitive, but it's also kind of like you got to kind of get in there and start using it, right? I mean, it's more user focused of kind of getting that feedback.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because we're all writers at heart, we've built everything around what we think would be useful for us as writers. And so in your basic spelling and grammar checker, it just tells you you should fix this and you don't get any of the understanding behind it. And you're not really building your skills. You're just finding mistakes. And a lot of the other grammar checkers in our sort of vertical are the same. Whereas we really want to help all of our writers become the best writers that they can be. And so whether they're students and they're trying to write good essays, then we try and include lots of content, you know, beyond just the copy editing side of things that our app does. But we also have a blog that has tons of information about how to write a good essay or how to write really good content or how to use it as a teacher or how to use it at work and that sort of side of things. So we really try, and our biggest focus in marketing has been inbound marketing. We just try and create all of the things that we think would be useful for writers. And we just thought if we build it, they will come, and they've come for sure. There's tons.
Yeah, they have. We're going to talk about that. I mean, it's kind of silly to me. It's like, I love it because it's, hey, it's not just, hey, you made this mistake, you shouldn't do that. It explains why you shouldn't do that. And how, so you can make those changes moving forward. Like, it really is like, hey, we're here to make you, to get you to a better point when it comes to your writing skills, right? And educate you of not just so you understand the premise of why that's wrong and the reason why you should change it and why you should do more of this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, eventually writers shouldn't even need us. That would be great.
I know. How does that work out? Like, when do you graduate? When the things like, listen, we have nothing else to tell you. You've just wrote this book and it's super solid. Like, we're going to let you go now. You're off on your own.
Yeah, no, that never happens. I mean, even though I know all of these rules off by heart and I've talked, you know, for hours and hours and hours of my life about the importance of not using adverbs, for example, I'll still write something. And when I go back and read my first draft, I'll have made all of the same mistakes in it. But then it highlights it and then I can fix them, right? As opposed to having to go through them and starting from scratch.
Yeah, I mean, that's the cool part is like, I'll be honest, I haven't used the platform. Actually, well, we did. I did go in and take a look at it with a review, but I tell you the functionality of it, I guess what I'm saying is I need to use it more. I guess is I'm saying yeah. that I need you in my life. I need your platform in my life because I need to be a better writer. I do, as we touched on earlier. Next time we talk, I will be a better writer. How about that? How about that for a promise?
Everybody needs to be a better writer. Even if you don't want to be a writer, you still, you know, everybody that's at work is writing emails all day and writing reports and doing, I don't know, all kinds of things. Almost every part of work is now involves some sort of writing. So the more you can improve your communication skills, even if it's just to write email, then great. That just makes you sound smarter.
Yeah, it really, and it just, and it's so crazy because once again, as talking about Ms. Schwartz, my teacher from a long time ago, my English teacher, I mean, you didn't realize how much it was going to be a part of anything we do. I mean, everything we do, right? I mean, mm-hmm. emails and everything, it's like all of a sudden it's like became like this focal point. I mean, we write content, obviously, you know, you guys write content as well. And so we write for so many different websites, and I never ever imagined that it would be that way, that it would be like that. I would do something that would be like inbound marketing where we would go and do those types of things. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of crazy, actually.
So, it didn't exist back then, did it?
No.
It's a whole 70s. New world.
Yeah, it is, man. Who knew? Yeah. Jesus, I would have been a little more prepared. I think we've already gone over that. So how are you guys different? And you touched on a little bit than some of the other writing platforms that are out there. How are you guys different? I mean, it sounds like you guys are just intuitive. It sounds like you say what the problem is and this is what the solution is, and then you explain why that is. Is that the main differentiator?
Yeah, I think the thing that makes us really different is that we really focus on learning, and it's something that we're trying to do even more of. We now, as of about 8 months ago, we now have videos and all courses like right on the platform itself. So if you get a suggestion, then there's a video of me or Chris or somebody else actually explaining this there. So we're really trying to build out that learning side of things. But we're also still a pretty small, nimble company. You know, as I was saying, we do everything ourselves. And so if opportunities come up, we can sort of jump on it and we can really talk to other people in the writing community, because the writing community online is huge. Like, writers love talking about writing, and they love writing about writing, and they love reading about writing, and they love building their skills. And so I think the fact that we are all writers has just made that easier, as opposed to, you know, some of the bigger companies that have, you know, millions in investment, and they have to, you know, they have a lot more boxes to tick, whereas we can be pretty nimble and we can jump on pretty cool opportunities.
Which is I think it's huge, because, you know, the problem is when you get millions of dollars, you, once again, those boxes that you have to check don't always have to do with the core of what your business is. Right. Yeah. And so it really, it becomes a difficult thing. And then you have to, then it becomes users and numbers and stuff. And you're maybe not quite as invested in the actual community as you are getting to certain points in whatever that is, with software or anything like that. So, and you guys have recently, pretty recently, you guys are at what, 1 million users or even over that? Aren't you guys?
We're at 1.5 million now.
Ooh, see what happens? In this last week, things have, we've got updates here, folks. 1.5 million users. That is silly.
Yeah.
So and you've been with the company for what? How many years now?
2015, 5 years.
Oh, 5 years. Okay. So then, walk me through that. Like, you're talking 1 million users. I mean, or 1.5. We talk about that like it's nothing. Like, oh, you just went and picked up a few people and you had a few signs and people signed up. Like, that's crazy. Like, 1.5 million users is like silly.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the reason we've grown so much is that we have a really comprehensive free version of the software. And so a lot of those users are just free. And unlike some freemium versions of products are all full of advertising and they lock away all the best features. We don't do any of it. We had a bit of advertising in the beginning and then we decided it didn't really fit with our ethos. And so now the only difference between free and a paid account is the free users are limited to 500 words at a time. So if you're just writing emails and that sort of thing, that's fine. But if you're writing anything that's a bit more in depth, then it's good to be able to look at your statistics over your full document or full report or full blog article, because you can check for things like repetitiveness. If you've used the same phrase 5 times in your blog article, because readers clock that sort of thing. Yeah. So if you can look at it on a bigger picture, that makes a difference if you're properly trying to do some good content. And then the other thing that paid users can use is all of our add-ins. So we've got add-ins for Word and for Google Docs and for Chrome and Firefox and all the rest of them. But a lot of our growth has just been to the fact that we have something really cool that people can use for free. And then they learn to love it and they tell their friends. And I mean, so much of it has just been our users championing us to other
writers that they know.
And it doesn't get any better than that. Like when you have a great tool that you offer for free, and obviously some people just keep the free version. Obviously, if you want to, you're serious about it, you want to upgrade to the pro, but just having other people, that actual natural growth of, I think, of truly caring, right? Because I've been on plenty of free platforms where it's like, you're right underneath the level of being able to be productive on a free software. You know, you're like, I almost got something done, and I almost, almost cool for a second, but then it wasn't. It's not the $20 or $50 that I'm not willing to pay. It's like, I kind of want to test it out a little bit. And it kind of sounds like you guys really cared about developing something that somebody could use for free. When it's 500 words, which is plenty if you're doing emails or whatever that is. But for the person that says, hey, listen, I just need to go up to that next level. Even the price point for you guys isn't that high, right? I mean, your software is not expensive from what I've
seen. Yeah, and we've really tried to, I mean, it's a bit strange because we're one of the least expensive softwares out there, but we've got the most features. And we keep having this conversation about, like, should we increase our prices so that we're in line with everyone else? Because if we're the least expensive, will people then think that we have the lowest value, right? But we don't actually want to price ourselves out of accessibility for too many people. Like, we want this to be free. We want to be able to help as many writers as possible. And we want to make it accessible to as many people as we can. And so, yeah, we're just trying to keep the prices reasonable so that we can have as many people as possible.
Well, I will tell you, we appreciate you keeping them reasonable, because that's what I like to pay, is reasonable prices. It's right in that little category.
That's
the hot area for me, is reasonable.
Reasonable.
That's a good question. Just reasonable. I just want to keep it right in that area. Why not? So what would, is there any other apps that you can think of? I'm just talking about for like other aspiring writers and stuff. I mean, I with Pro Writing App, obviously you guys Pro Writing Aid, you guys have obviously done an amazing job. Is there any other tools that you use as a writer? I'm just trying to think of outside of what you guys have created. I mean, I don't know if you need anything else, to be honest, but is there anything else?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of tools that we use, like to run our team. We do all of our planning and editorial calendars on Trello. I just think Trello is a magical thing for trying to keep yourself organized in any sort of way. We do all of our collaborative documents on Google Docs, which, you know, they've got some limitations, but if you've got lots of people going in and out, you don't have the issue of multiple versions and things getting lost or anything. You've just got a link and everybody works in the same one. Tons of our users use Scrivener, which I personally don't use, but we hear about it all the time for people that are doing big projects. Or even people that are running a lot of content. I think it's just, once you get your head around it, it's a bit of a learning curve. But once you get your head around it, I think it's really useful. And so we have an add-in for that as well. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to writing, I think the most important thing is just a good writing platform that you feel comfortable in and that makes sense for you. And then just to sit down and get the words out.
Get it done. So, and with the pro version, the benefit to that too is that if you're using it on Google Drive or anything like that, it obviously will make suggestions as you're going. So the whole team can have accessibility, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've got a Chrome extension, so you can use it, you know, on almost any website. You can use it on Gmail, on all of those sorts of things, just try and catch your errors before you push send.
Man, that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. I wish you guys were around, or I should know about you a few years ago, because there was a few emails that I was like, okay, I don't know. No wonder they didn't respond, because they're like, okay, he's been hacked, obviously, and somebody else is writing something for him. So that's good. That's good. So what is the plan for Pro Writing Aid? Like, globally, you guys have 1.5 million users, which is, I mean, it's just, to wrap my head around that is absolutely insane. And it sounds like you have your users are your main advocates, which like doesn't get any better than that. Do you guys have anything, like, is there anything that you can tell us about that you're like, our plan is to get to 3 million, 5 million. We want to go global. We want to start, you know, is there other ways to do, like, is it just in English, or we're looking to do Spanish? Is there like, can you give me any?
Yeah. So initially we were talking about doing Spanish. We have a fairly unimpressive version of in Spanish. But I think there's probably a lot more that we can do in English before we start moving into other languages. I just say that because people ask us all the time if we have German and French and Spanish. But I think there's still a lot more that we can do in English and in our platform. And we still have all these different ideas that we want to do. So in a lot of ways, I think we'll probably just keep doing what we do. About half of our users are in the States, and
or sort of in other English-speaking countries around the world, you know, Australia, UK, Canada, Ireland, those, you know, that's probably another half. But we'll probably just try and do more of what we've been doing, which is mostly inbound, creating really good content. We've just started since March doing a series of webinars, just free webinars. We just reached out to all these experts in our field and asked them if they would do some free training for us. And it's actually worked really well for us. It's given a lot of value to our existing users, but then it's worked as a lead generation for lots of new users across social who come in and discover us because they want to learn how to query their manuscript, for example, might be a topic. And then we'll have another article around that. And so it all sort of feeds in together. And, you know, it's like I was saying, doing content that writers are looking for and that adds some value and helps us build our profile and a bit of authority as experts in that field.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, we kind of did the same thing when I started the blog, I think 8 or 9 years ago. I don't know what year it is, but you know, whatever, a little while ago when we started doing it, is that all of our stuff is inbound too. And it does take a while to do, but once you start producing great content and then people start inquiring, for yours obviously is very writer-based, like how do I do this? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, how you, you know, you look at the certain keywords. And it's the same thing for us for SEO or influencer marketing or content marketing mm-hmm. or whatever that is. It's like, what are the queries that people are putting in and can we be the answer to that? That inbound has been absolutely amazing. I mean, I always say this in my podcast, like I don't have a huge sales team that's out there outreaching people. Everybody inquire with us about help that they need. So it's been interesting because we made that early investment and I, of course, the reason we invested is because I thought it was going to pay off and it absolutely has. And I think, you know, the key is writing, is getting out there and putting out some great content that people love and enjoy. And great, if you have a SaaS product, especially a great free SaaS product, and then you get in to start writing, and then writing obviously is a part of what we do every single day, and why not upgrade to the pro? So I think that makes total sense. Thanks, Lisa. It's been a pleasure getting to know more about what's going on behind the scenes at Pro Writing Aid. We're short on time, so let's wrap up this segment right here. Stay tuned. I'll be back next week with more questions for Lisa.